Welcome to Beyond the Boundary, Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
A special edition of Beyond the Boundary. It's going to be a massive edition. Every guest in the studio, which we think is a first when we do a full expanded version of Beyond the Boundary, but a special guest co-host, Jay Stowarty, my co-pilot, unavailable today, but man, it comes off the bench. He's done it a couple of times and with such aplomb that we've asked him back all the way from St. Joseph's College / Football Netball Club, the man they call the hoodlum. Well, I call him the hoodlum because it's a bit of fun. Paul Hood, hello, Hoodie.
I'm good, Kingy. Thanks for having me. Very, very glad to be an impact player today. And thanks for delaying your day to wait for me to get here after school when I did leave at the legal time.
Yeah. What time school? Knock off up at West Court.
The bus timetable means it needs to be 3:05 today, so lucky me.
Well played, well played. Big show, we're going to be talking with Chris Moore, Invalide coach, who I believe you have a connection with going back.
Yeah, way back when, we were great friends of the Morfitt family, and we kicked the footy in the street, and it's been great to watch Chris's career over the years and how well he's done in local footy.
So was that up in Grovedale?
That was up in Grovedale, I was an infiltrator from Marshall at that stage, of my teenage years. Yeah, so they let me into Grovedale for a few hours. It was great.
But you started out on the Leopold Newcombe area?
Yeah, no, mate. I'm the hood from the hood, the middle of Solar Drive.
Oh, Whittington. And,
Freedom Court.
Because you did your best early work at Eastern Colts, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, early days at Eastern Colts. A great place to play footy. Yeah, loved it. And the pavilion was actually named after my godfather, the Ron Hayes Pavilion. So,
right.
Yeah, it just felt really special to go there all the time.
Which team did you play for?
Played for the Monarchs,
yep.
who had a proud tradition. My grandfather coached the Monarchs, and then my dad coached my team, and I loved every minute of that, except for they wore an Essendon uniform at that time, and that was the only sort of disappointing part about it.
So primary school at Christ the King.
Yep.
Over the back to Irvine Reserve for Eastern Colts, and you were under Newcombe's nose. They must be filthy.
I actually was sort of talking with them was about 14, about no, earlier, like 12, to go and play under 15s, I think. But I was just tiny, and yep. I wouldn't have been able to deal with players that big. But I'd go and watch them all the time. Remember the 87 Premiership, I think?
88? Larry
about
Donoghue?
That time, yeah. Watched it really closely. And Craig Wolferton, who was an accomplished player with Newcombe, was the next door neighbour.
Yep.
And go and watch them. And they were a great place to go and watch footy. It was a great place to spend your Saturday afternoons as a kid.
They had some superstar players through it. Well, yeah, through the eight. Actually, got some superstar players now.
Yeah, haven't they indeed?
Some blokes that Joey's weren't unhappy to see the back of in terms of playing for opposition clubs. Wagner, Pepper, Luke Justin. You'd probably be disappointed Ben Clark's there.
Yeah, disappointed that Ben Clark's there, but the other names you mentioned, Logan himself is just an unbelievable player and always causes great headaches when he was playing for the Polders. So, yeah, not sad that he's missing.
Well, one of his old running mates, Marcus Thompson, is going to join us ahead of game 200 for the Pold. Not one at 12 o'clock.
That's an amazing achievement, isn't it? What a player.
Everyone. Now, you wouldn't have played many. Like, I know you might have come out of retirement a couple of times to play at 12 o'clock. Did you play much 12 o'clock footy during your legitimate playing career?
No, none at all. I was really fortunate. I played one game when I was 37, I think, filling in.
Out of Grovedale?
Yeah, it's a famous day when Nathan Penolzo came out of the goal square, did his hand, he went straight to the bench and played for 5 seconds. and after seeing that, it was, I'm going to do this once and I'm done.
Right. Yeah. And we're also going to talk with Maxi Orgarinos, who you have a connection with because you taught him at St. Joseph's.
Yeah, what a great young guy. He'd be in the leadership group of the Good Guys 18, I think, from the GFL and BFL. Maxi's a great fella, so it'd be great to see him again.
All right, we've got plenty of news to get through. Firstly, can we just start? I understand from your game on Saturday night, other than Jared Garner doing a hamstring where many people thought he'd actually been shot from a grassy knoll, not as bad. Well, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it could have been. 4 to 6, and a 33-year-old, it's probably 6. But Liam Kershaw for you guys is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, Liam got a concussion that's like a delayed one. He was okay. He went back on the ground, and then when he started moving again, didn't feel great. So he'll do the concussion protocol. And Zach Knight's had a knock to the knee that we're not sure the severity of. It looked pretty severe, but it was medial at the time. It looked pretty severe at the time and finished him in the game. But he's recovered pretty well, so we'll just see if he gets through training tomorrow.
His last 9 months have been horrendous. You sent Joey Chaplin back to the convict land to for clipping him at training in the finals. You've got he's had the little issue with the ticker, and now you can't take a trick. Is that not young Knighter?
He's been unlucky, Knighter, yeah. And in between time, whenever he's played footy, he's been amazing. So hopefully he's back really soon. But we have put the lights in at Joey's, which we said was for Zach Knight's last time I was in here after that happened. So, there's been some progress.
All right, just some other injuries around the place. I did touch on Jared Garner. Now, at Newtown, Taj McMillan, who you've seen firsthand come across from North Ballarat, broken collarbone, friendly fire, a teammate got him.
Yeah, that is really unfortunate, isn't it, for Taj? He looks like a really impressive player and a great addition to their team. So for Taj's sake, hopefully he heals quickly, and no doubt he'll cause us some headaches in the back end of the year.
Jed Coburn's had a great start to the year. He's got a bit of hamstring awareness. He won't play against Bell Park this week. And Alfie Wojcinski. Now, I caught up with the old man, David, at about 3 o'clock yesterday. By 4:30, Alfie's in emergency, having put a drill through his hand at work.
Oh, that is bad luck, isn't it? Yeah, I never wish to hear that for anyone. Hopefully it heals pretty quick for Elf, because he's on the rise as a player and improving really quickly for the Towner, so hopefully it doesn't keep him out for too long.
So surgery for that one. Conolinahan Cunningham up at Werribee Centrals has got a nerve impingement in his shoulder. He'll be back for the East Geelong game, they expect. Won't play against North Geelong this week. You've got at Barn Heads, Luke Davis missed last week. He'll be back this week with just a bit of hip soreness. They're going up against Drysdale, who don't have a recognised ruck, so Sticks thought he'd have a week off. Jake Wybrow, hamstring injury. Ben O'Sullivan with some concussion. Talking about other injuries, Joel Bennett with his back. He's missed the last couple. It was actually the two-year anniversary of Joel's horrible collision playing for Corio that left him in hospital. He's still having some issues with that back, and he's managing it at the moment, so hopefully back this week. Playing, fingers crossed for him. What else have we got? Port Arlington, I hear, got a couple of injuries. Taya Miles with a hamstring. Bear Walton's got a collarbone issue. Just waiting for a bit more confirmation on that from the Demons. The other talking point this week, Scotty Frangos, who you would be well aware of from Geelong West, unfortunately no longer coach of the Giants GDFNL outfit.
Yeah, real shame that Scotty's no longer a coach. He was a St. Joseph student as well, a really respectful, humble person, obviously a loyal servant for the Giants for a long, long time. So hopefully Scotty recharges and he's back around local footy soon.
Andrew Clark is going to be taking over. So former coach of the Giants, got them back to finals, I think, back in 2018 or 19 after a lengthy absence. He's going to step in an interim basis. Big freeze. So it's Sunday the 31st of May up at Elderslie Reserve, Newtown and South Barwon. Our own Matty Dowling is going to be going down the slide.
Fantastic for Matty. Hopefully he gets a day that's as warm and sunny as it was last year.
Yeah, and I reckon the year before at Joey's was pretty nice as well.
It was indeed, yeah, when Ron went down as Strawny, that's right.
Yep. So he's going down. Tanner Bruin is going down the slide as Sam Morfitt's pick.
Fantastic.
So Sammy's ambassador for the Geelong MND slide, and Dave Wojcinski's going down as well among those sliding. What else have we got? East Geelong named their team of the decade during the week from the back line. Drew Lachlan, Andrew Hill, Mark Buckingham. From the halfback line, Paisley, Primke and Williams. Midfield, Miles, Chamberlain and O'Hara. Pat Hoey, John Sinclair and Justin Oppenlander, which is one of the great names of local footy, at half forward. Ryan Kloster, Sean O'Leary and Josh Coy, the forward line. The ruck, Luke McLean, Ryan Coy, Ruck Rover, and I'm just trying to work out there's a position that's missing here. Hang on, I'm just doing my numbers here. I don't know. I haven't got a Rover. I'm trying to work that out. No, I don't know. But anyway, that's all right. The East Geelong will know. Andrew Reuter, Mick O'Leary, who you would have played with?
I think Mick O'Leary was the captain of the first school football team I played in.
Yeah. In 92?
I was about to say, you'd have to go back a long way to find a decade that East Geelong would do a great team and that doesn't have an O'Leary.
Yeah, correct. Sean Maloney, Scott McLeod on the bench, Adam Scrobbelat named as coach. Although, look, actually, he's been named in the ruck. So he's the ruck. Luke McLean, ruck rover. Ryan Coy is the rover. So although Scrubber probably did his best work in the goal square. So well done to East Geelong. They do a great job with their history. Is quite unbelievable. One of the oldest clubs, 150 years old, in the region. Did you see, is Matt Walsh still teaching at St. Joseph's?
He is indeed, yeah. I think he's the house leader for Brophy.
Brophy, who are the yellow house,
the bees,
who know their St. Joseph's houses. You know he's been back playing.
No, I didn't know he was back playing. I know he's fit as a fiddle, but I didn't know he was back playing. I
think he might have kicked 10 on the weekend.
No way.
In the twos.
Right. So it's true.
Matt,
he's good at footy.
Matt might
no,
have.
He's a goat.
Does he have a four in front of his age?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah, he's in Benjamin Button type, Nick.
Yeah. What else have we got here? Oh, the Masters. So Geelong Masters, of course, play at Grinter Reserve. They have their big day, the Outside the Locker Room Cup, against Williamstown this weekend. We have spoken about this before, but it's this Saturday under lights at Grinder Reserve, raising funds for four charities: Outside the Locker Room for Mental Health, Peace of Mind, which is brain cancer, Down Syndrome Victoria, and Rural Prostate Cancer. Games from 3 o'clock with the 45s, which you are now eligible for. Actually, I'm eligible for as well. 5 p.m. is the 35s reserves, and 7 p.m. is the 35 seniors. I would think those 35s games would be still pretty good games of footy.
Imagine they're still pretty willing. I know I've seen some of those guys getting around at AFR 9s, and I still have a go, but good on them for doing their work for charity as well. What a bunch of legends.
Food trucks, coffee van, and the Newcombe Footy Club bar will be open. The suburban footballer, Tommy Seagate, is going to be there. Tickets are $50 each for that, including a feed from Luca Pizza, and 100% of the tickets sold to the show go towards the charity. So well done to Paul Collis and the team at Geelong Masters. We had a bit of match review panel action. We've got a tribunal hearing tonight. I think it's Matt Watt from Werribee Centrals is up challenging an incident from the Belmont Lions game. AFL Bowen have set up an umpire satellite training venue out at North Shore. Drysdale might see Jaden Hunt this week.
No doubt he'll give them a big boost if he's back. So, yeah, let's hope he gets a game.
Some sadness in local footy. Ross Crichton, a triple premiership winner at Newtown and Chilwell, played in their 78 flag, which was the last GD flag hoodie before the split, the GFL was formed, beat North Shore, and then he played in their 85 and 86 flags when Kevin Higgins, who you knew well, absolutely, they dominated the competition.
Yeah, didn't they indeed?
Johnny Scarlett, I think, might have been running around.
Yeah, still famous names now, all of those players that played in those teams.
And at St Mary's, it's been a horrible, horrible week. Obviously, Lee Crawford, we knew about a couple of weeks ago. The passing of Brittany McLaughlin from the St Mary's women's team. Then their former president, Rob McCurdy, who was pres when they won the flag in 04. And the great Ray Digby, who you know well.
Yeah, spent some time talking to Ray at Geelong RSL when my dad worked there for a long time. And obviously, Joey's and Mary's fierce rivals for 3 hours a couple of times a year. But hearts go out to everyone at St Mary's and the local footy community and hope they're doing as best they can in difficult times.
We know we lost Damien Christensen a couple of weeks ago. Chriso's celebration of life, for want of a better term, will be Friday, June 4, the Friday before the long weekend, up at Geelong Footy Club. I think it's going to be in the president's room. But Hoody, you played under Chriso, 97, made the grand final. You came from nowhere after a disappointing 96. Chriso's first year, second year, bang, into a granny. Probably one of the greatest grand finals. I think it's forgotten as such a great grand final, high scoring, but he had an immense influence on you.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, Chriso was an amazing person, and then that made him a great coach. So I was just blessed to play my first couple of years of senior footy under Damien. He made you feel so confident. He gave you a belief in your ability. And he was someone that team showed that came back a few times throughout those seasons from a long, long, long way behind. Never lost faith in his group, never lost faith in his players, and always made you probably achieve more than you can. And then seeing him after football, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like he remembered things from a decade ago, things that made him happy, that made you happy, that you know, you'd made your coach happy. And you talk about him later, you talk about how much he'd enjoyed football everywhere. And for me personally, Chriso was someone that made me think that footy can give you a really good life, and it's always made me want to stay connected to the sport. And yeah, Damien, you saw him, you smiled every time you saw him, and he'll be really missed. But his impact, I think, certainly at my club at St Joey's, so many of the players from Chriso's time are still there and still connected, because he connected us in the beginning. And if when your time here is done, if people can say that you brought groups together, and when you were gone, they stayed together, you've done a pretty great job.
Yeah, absolutely. No, well said. We've got a big show. Maxi Orgarinos is going to join us shortly. Looking forward to a big Beyond the Boundary. Thanks to Kurz Hire. Paul Hood, our special guest co-host. Jase Doherty, absent.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
You're listening to Beyond the Boundary. Now, it's very, very rare we speak to a reserves coach. Actually, I don't think we've ever done it before, but not many reserves coaches' names have been Max Orgarinos, and unashamedly is one of our favourites here at Carrick Footy. Hoodie, you actually touched on him earlier as being part of the Good Guys 18 for local footy.
Yeah, great fella from a great spot. So it's great to have him in today, Maxie. Well done on being one of the first reserves coaches ever to come on in.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you guys today. Really looking forward to it.
Maxie, now you've obviously retired a couple of years ago. The body just had enough of so many injuries, your knees especially, but you find yourself part of the St Mary's Mafia that have made their way down to Howard Harmer Oval. You're coaching the reserves. Can you just take us through the approach? You did talk to us last year on K-Rock Footy about it, but just the approach to coach the twos down there. Was that from your old mate Damien McMahon?
Yeah, Damo reached out, and which I'm really thankful for, and asked me to be involved down there, more from assistant coaching the senior side point of view. And I think where my head was at, I asked him, oh, is there an opportunity to coach the reserve side? Because that was my mindset, was like, right, if I'm going to get into coaching, I don't want to just be an assistant. I want to actually get in there and have a real go at it and sit in the driver's seat. So there is that element of assisting the seniors in the role, but the main role is what we call the development squad there, not the reserves, from a terminology point of view, which we've taken from St Mary's. So, yeah.
What's it like coaching your own team? Is it different to what you envisaged it would be?
I don't think I had... I didn't know what I was in for, to be honest. So I think what it has been is been really enjoyable, and I've learned heaps, especially probably about yourself is something that surprised me, like you... how you communicate, what sort of person you are to talk with. So it sort of makes you reflect a lot more than when you're playing. Sort of when you play, you just get the job done and you move on to next week. But from a coaching point of view, I find myself thinking a bit more holistically about me, about where I can develop. It's been good fun. It helps when you're winning. So we haven't lost a game yet, so we're 5-0, which is super exciting. We haven't played Torquay yet. We play them in round 8, so we're the top two, and I think that there'll be another test when we do lose a game. If we lose a couple of games, that'll change things, but it's been enjoyable so far.
It certainly does help when you're winning, Maxie, but you've always been a pretty cool, calm and collected guy, really humble, really approachable and always happy to talk to anyone. Is that how you approach the coaching, or do you still have the competitive part of you as a player that comes out? Is there a bit of white line fever? How are you managing all of that?
Yeah, I think there's a balance of the two. I think before the weekend, I would have said, very, very stoic in my approach. I sort of try to focus on an asymmetric leadership style where when things are going poorly, staying up and about, and the opposite when... Things are going bad. So I think with that approach, it gives me a look at it's interesting. Like on the weekend, I was really quite frustrated post game, which was the first time it's probably happened this year, because we haven't really had a scoreboard focus at all this season. Whereas it's all been about us. The way I coach at the moment, especially this time of year, is not looking at the opposition, how we're going to beat them. It's all about, right, what are we doing, how are we improving? And then when we go away from those things, it frustrates me a bit, and that's when my competitive edge probably comes in. But if we're doing all the right things, if the application is there, I think you've got to be who you are. You can't try to be someone you're not, and like, I'm not the type of guy that's going to give the team a spray. So I think staying stoic and just being really clear with messaging is something I've focused on.
All of that makes a lot of sense, mate, and sounds like a really good philosophy to launch a coaching career with. But I guess we all need our heroes. Is there anyone you model yourself on, or any coaches you've had that you're sort of pinching the best bits from?
Yeah, like, firstly, my old man. He's been part of my footy journey the whole time, still is. He's at... pretty much every game and giving me advice on coaching. And he's been a principal for about around 20 years. So from a coaching perspective, he does that in his role every day. So it's been good to lean and tap into him about communication, talking to the group, public speaking, which is something I haven't been exposed to massively. So he's probably one where, without knowing, a lot of who I am and what I do comes from. And then from the coaches I've had, a lot of what Glenn Keyes, Travis Robertson brought to St Mary's, as I touched on before, with the development side, not the reserve side. That terminology might probably seem corny at first when we tried to bring it in, but Now, it is what it is already. That's like it's normal at St Mary's and Bowen Heads now. I feel like it's normal as well. They did things like individual focuses for every player on a Friday. Damo does that in the ones. I do that in the twos, just so we're clear on what needs to be done. So those two are obviously big. I think I only had Choco Williams for one season, but his philosophies I loved. Probably played the best footy I've ever played that year of my career, and I've sort of brought that, his element of it's all about us, it's all about how we can get the most out of each player, it's all about attack first, playing a nice brand of footy, and that's sort of where, probably from a strategy point of view, it's from him. So yeah, there's probably little bits and pieces from a lot of people.
What about the quirkiness of John Lamont?
Yeah, there's I think what John was brilliant at was being himself and just an unbelievable motivator, and someone who really could have fun with it as well. So that's something I think about every week, is like having the balance between fun and trying to win, because obviously that's the main thing. And being in the development side, like some guys there just want to have a few beers, play footy, run around, which that was what I went into, but there's probably not many like that. Everyone's keen to win, everyone's keen to improve and but still have fun at the same time, which is all part of it, and John was a ripper with that.
How do you coach the guys that want to be, think they should be playing at 2 o'clock, as opposed to the blokes who are resigned to the fact that they're not 2 o'clock footballers as well, the ones that are quite happy to, well, as long as I get picked at midday every week and I've got a game of footy, I don't care, and I want to be part of a winning team. How do you juggle those blokes ensuring that, it's probably a bit like when you played at the Falcons, you've probably got the kids who know that the Falcons is as far as they're going to get and they'd love to play in a flag, and you've got the kids that are going to go, I think I'm going to get drafted, I'm going to try and stand out and do the things that will get me drafted. I suspect, is there a similarity there?
Yeah, there's a few moving parts. Like there's those two moving parts, but there's also a third part we have to juggle where, in round three, for example, against Anglesey, we had 17 blokes miss out on a reserves on a development team game. So there's working with the young guys that want to play senior footy. That's the conversations with them are about, righto, what are we going to do to help you play senior footy? So, for example, there's a full forward that's been in the side for years, but we looked at the senior squad and it's, righto, if you're playing seniors, it's going to be down back, it's not going to be forward. We're playing you down back every week. These are the things we need you to work on. Show the ones coaches, and then you'll be available for selection. And part of my job is to be able to get them to that level, and also when they do get an opportunity in the ones, that they stay there. So that's part of the purpose of the role, is not just winning a flag. It's also developing those guys into senior footballers. And there's a lot of good players there that I'm finding were sort of were resigned to playing twos footy, but their attitude, mindset has shifted now to want to play seniors, and they're reaching out on how to get there. So that's a good position to be in. In terms of the guys that might be 30 that are happy playing at 12 o'clock every week and want to play in a flag, that I think I'm really lucky with the group I've got. There's a lot of the guys are either sort of that age, 30, wanting to win a flag, or 20. There's no real in between. And the guys that are a bit older have really grabbed the team and the young guys and brought them with them from a leadership point of view. So they're super invested, and it makes it, from a coaching perspective, it makes it really easy when you've got those sort of senior guys in your team that are real big influences on vibes, energy, on effort. It's really handy from that perspective. So that's probably a bit lucky in that respect. And then the guys that miss out on a game fully, like, it hurts you leaving people out, but what we promised them was, we'll tell you why and we'll tell you how you get back in. Obviously, there's no game to play, so it's how you train. Are you rocking up on Saturday doing stats, running water? How invested are you? So that's probably the overarching principles on how we approach the three groups, so to speak.
It's a sign of a really good club, Maxie, when you've got guys that are missing out, but you've got a plan for how to get them back in and keep them connected. So it sounds like you're on a really good path. And on that, we've got to do a 180 a bit from our former relationship. And I was a young man when I taught you. I'm an old man now. I need you to teach me, mate. I'm a long way removed from the 18, 19, 20-year-olds that I'm coaching now at the moment, and sometimes I do find it a little bit harder to connect, and I can't listen to the music they listen to in the pregame. Yeah. I need songs with words. How are you going? What's the best way to connect with young players these days, being a young coach like yourself?
Yeah, I think that's my competitive advantage. So coming in as a 28, 29-year-old coach, it's you can sort of – at first I was like, oh, I'm a bit worried being so young. People won't give you that respect, or you won't, you're going to make mistakes, but sort of flip that on your head and you're like, that's me, so I'm more relatable to them just naturally from that perspective. In terms of like for yourself, as you were my year 7 maths teacher, I remember quite well, but I think it's really forming those relationships and caring about their journey and their career, and I think it just starts from that. So if you, doesn't matter who you are, if you're really invested and have the, and you see that when they reach out and ask for feedback, and I think part of that a little bit is you're not perfect either. Like I've said to the guys, I'm going to make mistakes. I've already, if I've made a mistake at selection, I'll say that. I'll be like, oh geez, should have given you another week on the track coming back from injury, now you're sore, that sort of thing. So I've made errors so far, and you sort of be a bit vulnerable with that, and it just helps that relationship grow as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. You can just hear you talk about care and how much you're invested in your players, and talk about them being invested in your footy club. Obviously, they're in a really good spot. So two things, Max, his emotional intelligence is really, really high. Well done to you and everyone who's worked with you. And did you hear that I taught maths there? I want that on the record. We did a lot of 6x tables, I reckon. But he's done a great job.
I love that. Now, Maxie, the body.
Yeah.
You never had the knee reconstructed from the last time you did it. Yeah. Have you got itchy feet?
So when I coach the dev side, no itchy feet at all. Love it. When that game ends and the senior guys run out, yeah, that's when the feet get itchy. That's when I miss it. That's when I feel like it'd be pretty cool to be out there with Damo, with Doug, with Chriso, and really, yeah, like if it's St Mary's or Bowen Heads, it would be awesome. But yeah, my knee is fine in everyday life, but it is not super stable. So I haven't tested out any sort of training from a footy perspective.
Is it Brian Myers sort of style?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about his, but I think everyone's different with their knees. Like some people can play a bit because their knees function better without it, versus mine might be a bit more unstable. But yeah, there might be a pre-season where I give it a go and see what happens, because I love footy, and I think the year off last year of not being involved at all sort of has naturally brought me back to a footy club, which shows that I'm probably going to be involved in footy clubs a fair bit, because it's where my passions are.
Yep. Senior coaching job down the track, is that where your passion yet? Now that you've started, you go, all right, eventually I want my own club.
Yeah, this was sort of probably a test just to see if I not only enjoy it, but would be good enough to do it. And I think I've almost surprised myself a little bit with some of the results we're getting and how it's all gone, which is credit to Bowen Heads and the board and the two senior coaches, Sam Schaller and Damo, for giving me that opportunity and backing me in. I probably had those doubts early on, but each week, each training, you sort of get more confident. And senior coaching would be a great job as well. Would be super good, and I'd definitely be keen to do that one day for sure.
All right, before we let you go, we do a thing called quick hits. We used to do the player profile. We've got rid of that. We've moved on to quick hits. Now, I know you haven't been in the Bellarine very long, so you probably don't have a lot to compare, but maybe we should... can I GFN? I might GFL these for you.
Okay.
Where should the GFL Grand Final be?
GMHBA Stadium.
What was your favourite ground to play on other than Anthony Costa Oval?
Has to be GFL.
Yep. Or did you have a VFL grand you liked?
No, nah, I was thinking Ammos.
Okay, KFC yeah. Oval, that's fine. Yeah, go with sure. that. Which away rooms are the best in the GFL?
Colac.
Which are the worst?
Was St Albans.
Whose jumper is the best in our three leagues?
Jeez, I'm going to say Boneheads.
It's a good jumper.
Yeah, it's a cracker.
Good throwback. If you could recruit one rival player to your club, so this is for Boneheads.
Yeah.
Who would it be?
I'd be wishful thinking, but it'd be Jack Blood.
Right. Which teammate, well, it's not teammate, which reserves player you coach, or which player in the club at Boneheads is the coach's pet of either Sam Schaller or Damien McMahon?
Harry Highland.
And son of the president.
Yeah, it helps.
Which of your players at Boneheads is the best trash talker?
Damo.
Yes. Which opponent was the best trash talker when you played at St Mary's?
Oh, easily Jordan Kerris. Yeah. By a long way.
I think Geordie's name's going to get mentioned a few times.
Geordie has got the runs on the board, so fair enough.
Yep. And if we were going out for coffee, what am I getting you?
Just an almond latte for me.
Oh, jeez, the world has gone mad.
That's why he connects with the young fellas.
It's gone that mad that one local footy club has got poke bowls for their Thursday night dinner. What just happened to a schnitzel?
Saw your tweet last night.
I'm asking questions. And it's a very blue-collar club that's having it too.
Actually, sampled a lot of poke bowls as an AFLW coach, and they grow on you.
Yeah, no, they're okay. I just want to, well, not that I played a lot of footy, but I just want to schnitzel after training or something like that. Maxie, congratulations on what you've achieved so far. I know it's only half a dozen rounds in, but you've laid the groundwork for a finals berth in the Bellarine Twos. This week you've got?
Motowari.
All right, and then obviously you've got to get past them. No, I know you've got half an eye on Torquay in 10 days' time, but you've got to take care of business this week.
That's it, yeah. One week at a time.
Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, for a long time, this man has been the absolute superstar of the GFNL. He might not have a Matheson medal. He's had a crack at trying to win a couple, but somebody just seems to pip him every couple of years. But this weekend, a major milestone for one of the stars, one of the best that Leopold have ever produced. 200 games is no mean feat. None of them at 12 o'clock, which is even more incredible for the man they call Pup, Marcus Thompson. He's no longer a pup. How are you, Pup?
I'm good, Kingy. Yeah, thanks for having me in here.
I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. 200 games, has it given you a chance to reflect on what has been a wonderful career, debuting way back in 2012?
Yeah, certainly has been. You can't help but sort of go back and think about all the wonderful memories I've been able to sort of have at the club and the people they've been able to meet. And you get some nice messages throughout the week. And again, you sort of reflect on the relationship with those people in particular. So I'm very, very grateful to be able to play 200 games for a club I love playing for. And it's been special in the lead up so far.
It's only Wednesday, so you'll hear from more people between now and Saturday. But has there been a message that has bobbed up out of nowhere, somebody that surprised you or one that's moved you a little bit?
Oh, look, there's been a few. I think one that springs to mind is Jake Pitt. So, like, Pitty moved to Albury. He's playing footy up there, obviously a premiership teammate. And I think sometimes when it's from people that you probably might not expect, they're the ones that are like, oh, yeah, buddy, yeah, that's nice that it come across his mind. And for him to send a message and reach out and let me know how much I sort of meant to him and had a positive impact on him. It really meant a lot. But there's been numerous amount of people that have reached out and I'm really appreciative of that.
Pup, congratulations on reaching the milestone. It's an amazing effort. I was thinking I'd congratulate you on a wonderful career, but you're still really influential and probably getting better. So the career's got much more to say, but 200 games is amazing, mate. I remember working with you as a young player at the VFL when you were down there and could tell that you were skilled and you were powerful, really dedicated and humble, and it's no surprise you've gone on to have such a wonderful career. And yeah, well done on the milestone. It's brilliant. Tone it down against Joey's, please. But it's a fantastic achievement. And for young people trying to play footy in Leopold, they watch you play, they learn the right way, and you set your club up really well. So well done, mate.
Thank you, Hoodie. I really appreciate that, mate. And obviously, my first year at the VFL in the development squad, playing under you and sort of being able to learn what it was like at that level was something that was pretty special. Obviously, in that development squad, I think we had guys like Tommy Atkins and Brian Haynes sort of spring to mind. And it's certainly, you sort of think about your journey in its entirety, and sort of what come as me as a footballer post 2015 and 2016, and I certainly took a lot out of that experience and learning from you. So you mentioned there the young kids at Leopold looking up to me. Like, I think that's something that I used to always look up to, the senior footballers at Leopold. And, every kid's dream was to play AFL. But, funny enough, mine was to play seniors at Leopold. Like, I just idealised these guys who I sort of got to actually interact with. And, to sort of be able to try and give back to the juniors and give back to the young kids of Leopold, that means a lot to me. So if I've been able to have a positive impact in that space, then that's huge for me.
Yeah, right on, mate. Every club will be very lucky to have a Marcus Thompson as part of their history, and you've certainly left your legacy, and no doubt we'll leave some more at Leopold. I've got one quick Marcus Thompson story for you that I haven't shared, but this is where he's at the moment. King, you've ever watched a movie, or we do it now because we're old with kids. We've seen the movie before and the kids haven't, and you're like, you want to tell them how it ends because you know.
Yep.
But they won't believe you. But before we played Leopold in round one this year, I went to watch Leopold play Daly in a practice match, and I talked to Husey a little about it, and tried to hide but was there.
Because Husey's obviously a teacher at St. Joseph's as well.
Yeah, of course, filling in the blanks for the listeners at home. Daly are a really powerful team.
Yep.
And expecting them to do pretty well, and went there a little bit to look at how they would sort of break Leopold down.
So you watched the Brett Bewley show?
So, yeah. Brett Bewley, what a player he is. He's a very good player, but he wasn't the best player on the ground that day. So we're there, it's 4-1, Daly, like 15 minutes into the game. But Marcus is out the back of a 450 stoppage, and they've left him alone. I'm like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that, Daly, guys. Anyway, he kicks a goal. Goes back to the centre bounce, he kicks another goal. And then 5 minutes later, he sets up another one, and it's 4-all, and it's like, Daly, I told you the movie was going to end this way. But they didn't know who Marcus Thompson was.
They didn't know who you were, because if they were going by old jumper list, you weren't wearing your traditional number three.
That's right, yeah. I had Boxy's old number on, so it was a bit big on me, actually, after having Boxy run around in it. But, it was really good. Really good test for us as a group against Daly, who's a really well-credentialed footy side, and Brett Bewley in particular is an absolute star. So, I felt like, unfortunately, we didn't quite carry that form on into the next week. But, certainly was a great hit out to start off the season.
You got Jovanovic'd in Lawn.
Yes, we did. Yeah, Jovanovic, that's right. Yeah, no, he was sensational. But the entire St. Joseph outfit that day, in particular in the second half, were just way too strong. It was a really good learning curve for us, obviously, to cop that whack. You don't want to lose by that sort of margin. But, it was a really good reminder that this is a really high level of footy, and that's the sort of standard we want to get to as a club. So, and we're on that journey now. And, it was a nice little reminder first up. But, yeah.
Unfortunately for Pup that day, I left at half time because I'd seen the end of that movie. And the notes in my notebook going up to Lawn the next week were, stop Marcus Thompson, we're going to go okay. So a lot of effort went into that on that day, which is unfortunate for you, but your reputation procedure.
I do appreciate that.
Three-time premiership player, two-time premiership captain. It's an incredible CV, interleague representation, a bit country representation. Like, you've done just about everything. You haven't won a Matheson, but I don't think you care, because you've got three premiership medals there, and twice you've stood on the dice with Buddha holding the cup first as premiership captain. It's basically a story that if you were to write it at the start of your career how you wanted it to play out, it's probably been everything and more, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think...
Oh, and VFL representation too.
Yeah, I think I've spoken to a few people about this pretty recently. Growing up and following Leopold so strongly, there were some pretty lean years there, and some pretty tough times. So the thought of winning premierships as a Leopold player felt pretty far-fetched. The South Barlands, that era, St. Joseph's were always there, Bell Park was strong, Newtown were, had former AFL players, and it just felt like we weren't really ever going to win one, and probably making up the numbers a little bit, and there was so much work that got put into the football club and netball club and the culture around it to be able to put ourselves in a position to actually succeed and not just be one of the numbers of the GFL. So I'm certainly incredibly grateful and lucky to be right place, right time. I hope to have had some sort of impact in that period, but I think if you were to ask me when I was a 14-year-old kid, playing junior footy at Leopold, that I'd become what you said, you know, three-time premiership player and be able to captain a few of them, I just simply wouldn't believe you. So, yeah, I think this week's been pretty special when I think back at that. And you sort of do, you know, when you're in it and you're playing, you just sort of think about week to week, trying to get up for each game. But when you do reflect on the journey and what we've been able to achieve as a club and as a team, it's incredibly special and really humbling.
Right place, right time with coaches too, to have played most of your career either under Steve Clark or Gary Hocking. The timing's been pretty good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that those two guys have had a huge influence on my career and obviously as me as a person as well. Otis was a coach when I was, you know, late teens, early 20s. So sort of like a second father figure, really, mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, in what he was able to influence on my early playing career and his ability to galvanise that group and get us, you know, not worrying about individuality sort of stuff, but, you know, buy into the team and you know, get that elusive flag is something that was just incredibly special. And then, yeah, obviously when Buddha comes on board, you sort of don't know what to think. You hear stories, you know, he's, you know, pretty intense, you know, what's he going to be like? But, yeah, from the very first meeting time I met Buddha, I just knew that he was going to be the perfect fit for us. He brought a level of professionalism, but the way he connected, you know, for me with that first meeting and then the way I saw him just buy into the club and the community was really amazing. And I'm very grateful to be able to work alongside someone, you know, as well credentialed as Buddha, but also just the person he was. I thought we worked really well together as sort of a captain-coach combination and got the most out of ourselves and most out of the group that we had. And yeah, obviously those premierships are a great reward, but it was even just the week-by-week sort of interaction, having, you know, being around him and what the way he made the group feel just as equally as special, really.
So I started my coaching career with Buddha and just incredibly blessed to start coaching with him at the Falcons and spend all that time on the road trips around country Victoria just talking footy with a guy that was one of my idols. It was amazing, though, to get to know Buddha, to know how much he cared about the people he worked with. And he's like fully invested, but he's also a rare individual and does some amazing stuff, let's be honest. Like, you just don't know what's coming next.
Yes.
Do you remember any moments with Buddha where you were surprised or shocked? You're like, I didn't see that coming?
Jesus, plenty. I mean, obviously, the well-documented the dress-ups pre-game and his ability to be able to get us to relax and not sort of overthink the games. There was a lot of really good dress-ups, you know, the beekeeper and, you know, he come in a full length woman's dress, you know, because it was a dress rehearsal, and he come as a golf caddy. But look, there's been some great Buddha moments. I think one that stands out, we lost to Bell Park at Bell Park. It would have been probably 2024, and it was one of the not too many times Buddha come in pretty angry, but this week he did, and he come in sort of head full of steam, and he's just said to the group, "Boys, if you go into the supermarket tonight, you'll find three stocks. Chicken stock, beef stock, what do you reckon the third one is?" And there was just dead silence because no one wanted to answer it. And he just goes to Sammy McDonald, "Sammy, what's the third stock?" And then Sam goes, "Oh, veggie." And Buddy goes, "No, it's laughing stock, and you'll find all your faces on it." and we were just trying not to chuckle, but yeah, that was one that sort of sticks out in my mind in terms of Buddha, yeah, just sort of being quite unique in his way to deliver how he's feeling. But there's so many incredible moments that I could touch on, funny and also impactful, that he's been able to have on our club and our group.
You're rising 31, not too far away, 200 games. You're nearer the end than the start. We all know that, although, you know, the way you keep your body in really good shape, you could go for a heck of a long time. Have you got an idea of how much GFL senior footy is left in you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, you get a bit older and you go, you've played more games than you have left in you, and you sort of start to think about when does it end. And for me, my mind is so strong in that I want to play for as long as I can at this level. And I think I can still have an impact at Leopold and play at the level. I'm going through some body stuff at the moment. I've just got a bit of sort of nerve pain to my back, and I'm slowly working my way through that with our medicos. But, you know, if I can get on top of that and give myself every chance to have a really strong, you know, back half of the season, I think that will solidify in my mind that, you know, I can play at the level. So fit and able, then, yeah, I see myself playing more GFL football for sure.
Massive list turnover over the last couple of years since that 2024 Premiership. Woody, you're well aware of massive list turnover up at Plan Group Oval. But the future, like, it obviously started poorly. Then you strung three wins together. You pull one out of the fire against Colac, and then, you know, obviously last couple of weeks, quality opposition, Bell Park and Newtown, that you've got similar margins around that 5-6 goal. Where do you sit? Are you a team that genuinely thinks you might be able to steal an elimination final berth, or is this a year where you go, we might be watching in September, but we're building for something for 2027?
Our aim is to play finals footy. I think as a club we need to strive for that and want the most out of ourselves. It is certainly, obviously the turnover is no secret, and it's always difficult because there is obviously a lot of experience and talent that moves on. And I think that sometimes the ladder doesn't lie and the results don't lie. I think we probably are about middle of the rung at the moment, and, you know, with a 3-3 record, that would show. We feel like in patches against St Joseph's, Newtown and Bell Park that we were able to get our game going, you know, go into different modes, bit of slow play and score goals, but also get some teams at the back. But then we're just not really consistent, and I think that's the difference between the good sides and the poorer sides. And, you know, we've got a lot of work to do and to try and, you know, get ourselves up to that level. But yeah, we're certainly aiming to play finals, and I think if we can continue to be honest with ourselves and get to training and keep working on the fundamentals and just not letting teams have those momentum swings like we have at the moment, then I think we can trouble some of the better sides for longer. And yeah, hopefully we're up there, you know, competing for a final spot for sure.
Yeah, certainly a big gap, I reckon, in our competition at the moment, early part of the season. We've been on the end of some big defeats against South Barwon, Newtown and St Mary's. Really strong teams. But below that, I think there's a lot of scope for improvement from Bell Park already on the rise, Colac, yourselves, St Joey's, St Albans. Really, those clubs are on the rise, and someone's going to take that fourth and fifth. And I think the consistency you touched on, it's going to be a really important part of whoever it is coming fourth and fifth, developing that consistency. So I think you're on the money. I'm not surprised that you're on the money. But I want to change topic just a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Milestone games, 150th last week when we played against North Shore with Jacob Sammet. It was a little bit like when we played against your team. He was the one that we identified we had to stop. We went all right. He had 42 disposals and 16 clearances and played one of the best individual games I can ever remember seeing in the GFL. He's a great player, but his career's probably been off-Broadway a little bit and maybe not as appreciated around the league as he is. But someone who's been in the GFL for as long as you have, who are some of the other guys that maybe go under the radar a little bit that are really difficult opponents?
Look, that's a really good question. I think I was... For some, maybe because we just played him on the weekend, and it sounds silly because he's a maths and medalist, but Ned Harris is someone who I've noticed for the last few years, you know, really just coming like massive improvement. You know, there was a few years there where I think he was a bit of a defensive mid, and I think there was a few games where he sort of come to me, and I was like, why is this guy coming to me? Like, I feel like I should be tagging him. He's going that well, but I think now he's starting to get the attribution that he probably deserves. Yeah, there's guys like Hamish Lucas at Bell Park. You know, every time we seem to play him, you know, I think he's got a huge future. His ability to sort of get inside to outside is something that, you know, we show some of our midfielders to say, look, that's sort of what you need to be able to do, is that explosiveness, the ability to, yeah, sort of get from one end to the other and support backs, but also hurt us going forward. So he's someone that sort of springs to mind as well. You know, St Joey's have got a renown. I think James Gow's an absolute star, has been for a long time now, and I've got no surprise. It's not surprising at all that he's now a coach and he's such a strong leader of that club. So, there's probably a lot of other guys I'm missing, but in terms of opposition players, that they sort of spring to mind. You know, but in terms of the out-and-out superstars, there's a raft amount of players at the GFL at the moment who are just incredible to watch and also to play against. They can be a big thorn in our side. So, yeah, I think the competition is going well in terms of the talent that we've got across the whole competition.
All right, we've got some quick hits for you before we finish up and let you go.
Yep.
Where should the GFNL grand final be?
Leopold. That was good fun though.
Was it weird running out of your own rooms?
GMHBA, as long as the fans are allowed on the ground.
Yep. Yeah. Aside from your own ground, which venue is your favourite to play on?
I would say South Bowen.
Which away rooms are the best?
Colac.
And Maxi Orgarinos said the same from his time at St Mary's. Yep. Which away rooms are the worst?
I feel like Bell Park or Newtown, probably, yeah.
Yeah, they get Bell Park's been mentioned before. Whose jumper in our three leagues is the best?
In the three leagues, I feel like, I don't know, I like the Amos colours, Geelong Amateurs colours. Yep. Yeah.
If you could recruit one rival player to your club, who would it be?
Harry Benson.
Which teammate is the coach's pet?
Coach's pet these days would be Jet Matthews is too easy.
He was Buddha's pet. He was Buddha's pet, wasn't he?
The pet. I'd probably have to say Tate Porter.
Which teammate is the best trash talker?
Which best trash talker? Yeah, well, Pep's gone, so he's out of there. The young kids are pretty quiet these days. They try to let their footy do the talking. I'd say Burge. He sort of stumbles his words, but I think he's got some good stuff in there.
Which opponent is the best trash talker?
There's a few of them at Colac.
Ryan Monaghan.
Ryan Monaghan's pretty handy. Yeah, when they all get going, Zach Zibel's pretty good as well.
Is he?
Yeah,
right.
He's the big fella. He likes to pick on me a few times. So yeah, well,
there's not much you can't do, Big Zach. So I'm not surprised he's a great trash talker too. What a player.
He doesn't mind a few choice words.
And if I'm shouting you a coffee for your 200th, what are you having?
Just a latte. Yeah, just regular latte.
Very good, Pup. You've been a superstar to watch for 15 seasons. It's quite incredible how quickly it's gone in the blink of an eye from 16 to nearly 31, and here you are lining up for game 200. It's well-deserved recognition for a wonderful career, and long may it continue. Really appreciate you joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries, Kingy. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, congratulations, Pup. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Woody. Again, appreciate it, mate.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Sometimes you've got to call in favours, Hoodie. Sometimes you've got a guest lined up and the guest pulls out late, and there's always one break glass in case of emergency. It's like in poker. It's your one time. You know, you need that one card out to keep your seat. Well, this guy, he never fails to deliver. It helps that he only works around the corner, and we haven't had him on this year. So unfortunately, I burnt him in May. So I might be in trouble later in the year if one of my guests pulls the pin for the GDFNL. But I'm lucky enough to have Chris Small here. The Invalid coach has been good enough to join us via the Sir Charles Hotham Hotel. Hello, Maury.
Thank you very much for having me, Kingy. It's not the first time I've been second choice in people's in my life, so it's all good. I'm used to it.
Going all right. A little bit up and down. Looking for consistency would be the best way to describe the start to your year.
Oh, you're talking about my life or are you talking about footy?
Both.
Footy, mate. It's two losses under two kicks. Probably... would have liked to have pinched one of those. That would have been really good. But, you're 3-2 sitting second on the ladder. You can't exactly be upset.
So your losses to Bannockburn and Winchelsea at home, probably disappointing to lose at home?
They're both at home.
Yeah.
But we had opportunities in both games. I think we kicked 2-10 in the first quarter on the weekend against Winch, which... You know, if you can put five of those away, you probably win the game. But footy's a funny game, and we missed them. And good on to Winch; they took their opportunities and got on top of us.
You're in the coaching caper, and obviously, you know, you're a coach. You're coaching a GDFNL club. You're a Carlton supporter. Michael Voss takes the walk off the plank on the same day Scotty Frangos departs from Geelong West. You cop Geelong West this week. You must be rapt to get the, you know, the old club that loses the coach seems to always get up the following week for some unknown reason. I don't know if there's exact science to this, but you must have been thrilled when you heard about Scotty Frangos thrilled for a great.
No, I just worry about not getting sacked myself, Kingy. It's just one of those things, like you just got to worry about yourself, not with others. It was obviously, sudden, not news that sort of we weren't expecting, but I believe Clarkey's gone on to coach.
We understand that will be the case. Yeah. Confirmed to the players tonight, although I think most of the players already know that it's Andrew Clark.
Yeah, I've coached against Clark. He's an absolutely ripping fella. Yep. So, yeah, no doubt they'll be in good hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing how they go under Clark. He obviously had some success with them too. He took them from the doldrums to, I think he got them to a finals before COVID. So hopefully he can have that magic touch with the Giants. Hoodie.
Maury, like myself, you've been in coaching for a while now. We've got slightly different occupations. I probably wish I had yours sometimes when I'm teaching. Got any stories for me in the hotel trade, and then how you've mixed that with coaching? Have you been able to marry those two professions together, I think? And then any sort of funny stuff that's come along the way that's been related to those two jobs intermingling?
Well, one of the things at the moment is we're a sponsor of the GDFL, and the player of the round gets a meal voucher for the Hotham, which is something I've set up, which is great. So I get a clearance form and also a voucher to him. I had Reece Gin in last week. He's a ripping fella.
From Bannockburn?
From Bannockburn. And, look, it's one of those ones that I cross paths with a lot of players and a lot of coaches. And even, you know, blokes that you don't expect to like, they come in and have a beer and yeah, it's great. But, yeah, no, it's one of those ones... I do tell the boys, you know, my weekly stories of Hotham, the Hotham tragedies, and they get a bit of a laugh out of what I have to put up with each week.
No, I think it's fantastic, mate. It's a real throwback, and it's what community footy should be about. You know, that you actually go and see your coaches in the community. You're in touch, obviously, with a lot of local gossip working in the hotel trade, and obviously there'd be a lot talked about at Hotham. I think it's fantastic, mate, and it's a tribute to your personality that you're so approachable and can connect with anyone, and then you can do it in a pub and on the footy field. It's a great effort. Well done.
Well, I'd hate to know how many contracts have been signed at the back in the function room of the Hotham. I think that's becomes my office for footy most seasons, and going on a fair few now. So yeah, there's been a fair few deals done at 3 Brougham Street, which is good.
Who's a player that's come in that you didn't know a lot about that's come in with one of your vouchers, and all of a sudden you've had a chat with them and, you know, they've walked away and go, hey, he's a pretty good fella?
I had Jordan Cam the Friday before before the grand final.
Right.
Not the one they'll play against us, 2024, and he walked in and, just a great fella. Had a chat to him, wished him all the best, and, yeah, it's... I think there were... I can't remember the other... Stephen Sullivan,
yep,
from Thompson as well. Brought his family in. Just great to meet people off the ground. So, yeah, no, it's pretty good. And, just a chance to see people outside of footy.
Anybody not known that you were the coach of Aniki / Invalide during their...
Oh, probably most.
Yeah.
I have to go and introduce myself. Not too many people know me. And some people I don't recognise either until they slip the voucher in at the end.
Where do you see yourselves in the GD pecking order? Have you got a handle 5 rounds in, or are you still trying to get your head around where you sit?
I think each week I've got my head around it, and then all of a sudden you get off the ground and you look at the results and you think that you're just so far away from knowing where the league is. Each week, you know, upsets in a big way. So, look, I think it'll take a fair while to work itself out, but also there's just so much luck involved. You know, especially in GDFL footy, like most sides have got, you know, probably a squad of 28 to 30 to choose from. And if you start getting into those, you know, backup players early and then other players aren't returning, then, you know, no matter how good you are, sometimes those players that you're missing will cost you finals or going higher.
How are your recruits settling in? And I talk about recruits in terms of new to the club, but also players that have been elsewhere and come back. Obviously, those who have been elsewhere and come back, Donoghue and O'Keefe. Those who are new to the club, Floyd and Bordevalis. Ethan Floyd was a massive get for you. That's an almost walking off the street arrangement, isn't it?
It was exactly what happened. It was walking off the street. So a long time ago when I was involved at Winchelsea, I struck up a relationship with Michael Bordevalis, which is... lasted now probably, or you know, well over 15 years, and he was at a bit of a funny spot with his where he was at Winch, and I said, why don't you come out with me for your final year of footy? You know, it'd be great to finish together. And he said, I've got a mate that wouldn't mind coming. I said, who's that? He said, Ethan Floyd. I said, get out of the way. I don't need to sign you anymore. I'll sign Ethan.
Did you have Ethan Hoodie at VFL when he was at the Falcons?
No, I just missed. I watched him play, but no, I didn't coach him.
Yeah, and just a ripping fella, Ethan Floyd. So one of the things that we want to do at Inverleigh is not only bring in good players, but good people, and he fits that. Just, and he's a character, which is good.
Yep. Finn O'Keefe, though, more than handy returning from a stint in the GFNL.
Yeah, Finn's been, he's been really solid for us since coming back. Unfortunately for us, he's going overseas, and we knew that when he came back. So he's got an open-ended ticket leaving in a couple of weeks. However, you know, we're pretty confident that he'll come back at the back end of the year. Unfortunately, Zach Plant's been injured for most of the year so far, battling a calf. But he's just, his knowledge on and off the ground has been really good with our coaching staff. Hopefully we'll get him back in the next couple of weeks. Adam Donoghue's Adam Donoghue. He doesn't change. He smiles now, Adam, which is good. I don't know what happened. He's gone to South Colac and he's come back a different person. He smiles, which is great. So, yeah, they're the ones. Yeah, and Nathan Mays has been good.
Yep.
But, yeah, we've got a couple of injuries at the moment. So we're just hopefully getting a few of those back. Jared Bacon, Dalton Grundle, yep. Casey Meehan.
How is Casey training?
Casey trained with the boots on for the first time last night. Okay. Because
you were almost potentially writing his season off.
Look, it was just one of those ones that we just didn't know. We're waiting for results. And as you know, with his occupation, he knows better than me as a barman. So he was just he was telling me what was going on. But last night, first night in the boots. So I think a couple of weeks on the track and, yeah, we could see him return.
The Maury's just given away more in that couple of minutes segment than most AFL coaches would give away at a press conference with how much you've known about your players, your recruiting, the medical status. It just goes to show how much a local coach needs to know, how time consuming it is and how deep you need to think. There must be so many variables that just get thrown into your week every week. Like, does anything surprise you anymore, or is it just a matter of you just deal with whatever pops up?
As you said at the start, I've been at this for a fairly long time, and I'm pretty lucky that with my job, I can take phone calls, I can take meetings, I can have players come in just if they need a chat. It's pretty full on. Lucky my wife, Rachel, she's very supportive and doesn't yell at me too much. It's extremely, you just don't know what you're going to get from week to week, and that's probably most country coaches, I'd say.
Yeah. Dinner service is not too far away for you, so we need to let you go at some stage. But we're doing quick hits this year. Just some questions, just, you know, little, you know, not much to think about answers.
Yep.
Where should the GDFL Grand Final be played?
St Albans.
Where would you play it if you wasn't available?
St Mary's.
Now, I laugh at that because Chris's sister is Sally Flynn, who is president of St Mary's. Do you reckon that's happening?
No, but I'd just like to throw that out there.
Great if they couldn't train there all September.
Yeah. Aside from your own ground, which venue is your favourite in the GDFNL?
I would say... Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, I'll go Corio.
Which away rooms are the best?
Werribee.
Which away rooms are the worst?
North Geelong.
Whose jumper is the best in our three leagues?
I'm going old school. Geelong West Cheetahs.
The blue and gold vertical stripes?
Yep, best jumper.
If you could recruit one rival player to your club, who would it be?
It'd be Brad Gerard from Anarchy.
Who you've coached before?
Who I've coached before.
Which teammate is your pet? Oh, sorry, which player is your pet?
Jared Love, without a doubt.
Which of your players is the best trash talker?
Scott Condy.
Which opponent is the best trash talker?
Whoever told Josh Viney on the weekend, I don't know who you are. That was great. Really upset Josh. I don't think Josh has got over it yet.
All right. Your lovely wife's going to the coffee machine at the Sir Charles Hotham. What is she making you?
She's making me an extremely strong cappuccino.
Maury, appreciate you coming off the bench today to jump in. I've had a couple jump off the bench, obviously Hoodie jumping off as well to fill in for Jace, but yeah, coming in at short notice to have a chat with us, really appreciate. We wish you the best of luck this weekend. Don't be a victim of that, you know, get rid of the coach and the coach moves on and get beaten. So I'm sure you'll be on guard for that this weekend.
Now, you've asked me a favour. Did you mention the Inverleigh Sponsors Day yet?
I did put it in my notes and I didn't mention it. So we can mention it now.
Why don't you do it now? That'd be fantastic.
What's happening at the Inverleigh Sponsors Day?
So it's our Sponsors Day this weekend. Larry Donoghue's done a fantastic job in organising probably the envy of most football clubs. So we've got 75 in attendance. And hopefully it'll be a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Maury.
No worries. Thanks, King.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
As always, three fascinating guests. We have spoken to these gentlemen quite a bit over the journey, whether it be here on Beyond the Boundary or as part of our GFNL or Ballerine coverage, but always good to catch up with them in an intimate setting like this. All right, Hoodie, let's have a look at the games this weekend. Ballerine, Anglesey and Surf Coast, Barwon Heads, Mottawarri, Drysdale, Newcombe, Amos, Torquay, Ocean Grove, Queenscliff, Port Arlington have the bye. And you look at three or four of those games and go, you could actually toss a coin on those.
Yeah, it's what a competition it is, so tight like that. I know that K-Rock have been all over it and talking about what a great competition the Ballerine is, and some GFL people are starting to get jealous.
Yes.
But Torquay Amos, the rivalry there, is it still as fierce as it's always been?
Yep.
Yeah, it must be a huge game on the calendar for both of those clubs.
Just don't know, when did Carlton play this week, whether T-Boke is lining up?
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting if they could roll him out for the first game against Amos he's available for?
Yeah, he'd enjoy the wide expanses of Queen's Park too. GDFNL this weekend, East Geelong and Anarchy, Thompson and Corio, Bannockburn and Belmont Lions, Bell Post Hill and Winchelsea, Inverleigh and Geelong West, Werribee Central's and North Geelong is a night game up at Galvin Park, 5:30 bounce. Hopefully it's not too cold. Oh, Saturday's supposed to be actually not too bad.
Weather looks amazing for the next 7 days or so bring it on.
Bell Park in Newtown, Zoe Kennedy Foundation match. That's the game we're broadcasting on the K-Rock app, and you can also watch it on AFL Barwon TV. Leopold and Grovedale for Pups 200th, South Barwon and St Albans. Good story, actually I didn't touch on it earlier in our news. Taylor Mulroney hasn't played since Matty Copley got him with a good bump in the 2024 second semi-final at senior level. He went up last year to play with Eden Hope in a practice match. Said to Neildy, haven't got enough runs in the leg, running the legs, can I play in a practice match? Went up there, got hurt, didn't play last year. Also got suspended as well from a pracky match. Don't think Neildy
went with a lot.
Neildy wasn't overly thrilled, but he will be back for... they tried to get this up as called the Battle of the Break, because the breakwater separates both the clubs.
Right.
And it never really took off, but I'll continue to call it. It's a bit like calling Joey's a new town. It's still the cement cup.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing changes. Down. Nothing changes there. St Joseph's and West at Plan Group Oval.
Plan Group Oval indeed. Great sponsors there.
Oh, Jared Mason's very proud of the involvement there.
He's doing a tremendous job. Plan Group are everywhere at the moment. So they've got something right next door to you at the front.
Victoria House being tidied up. And St Mary's and North Shore at Anthony Costa Oval at Colac have the bye. Hoodie, really appreciate you dropping by. We're not sure whether we're doing an edition next week. Actually, when we normally record is a Wednesday afternoon, and actually Ray Digby's funeral, which most of us are actually attending, might clash with it and might take precedence. We will try and get an episode off the ground if we can, but we'll make that decision during the week. Good luck Saturday. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, Hoodie, and look forward to seeing you up at Plan Group Oval at some stage during the year.
Thanks, Kingy. Always great to be on.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.